This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
All right, we got a lot of show left at 7:02 on a Monday morning. The Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. And Al, we are going to be talking about, I know you want to talk about
what is it?
How the Niners conducted themselves, and specifically the head coach. That's coming up. And you know what, Al? I had a few complaints during the game.
Few.
I got to hear them.
What?
There were a few complaints, and I'm going to get to those in a little while as well. But on the line with us right now, what a great time to have him back. The legend himself, the great Ray Dittiger. Hi, Ray.
Good morning, Ange. How are you?
Well, I'm great, Ray, and I enjoyed the post-game. They had five guys on the panel. They put Ray right in the middle. Ray, I just want to start with this. You wrote the Eagles Encyclopedia. What does it mean to the city of Philadelphia to have the Eagles going to the Super Bowl?
Well, Philadelphia is a great sports town. We've certainly talked about that endlessly, but there's no question that the number one team is the Eagles. When they get all the way to the top, because we've certainly seen the other extreme. I mean, we've certainly seen them be bad. But when they make it all the way to the championship game, yeah, there's nothing like it. There really isn't. And you saw it. I mean, within minutes after the end of the game, all the city streets were full, and the crowd was all around City Hall, and the crowd was up in the Northeast, and everybody was just celebrating, and it was tremendous because, you know, this franchise went a long time, a long, long time between successes, and there were a lot of people who thought that they'd never see this team get to a Super Bowl, much less win a Super Bowl. So to have it happen now, and you know, to have it happen 5 years ago, and then have it happen again, is a tremendous cause for celebration. And you know, it's an exciting young team with some exciting players and a very excitable head coach. And I think everybody's really enjoying it. And yesterday's game was, you know, it certainly wasn't pretty. But, you know, 31-7 against the number one defense in the NFL in a championship game is pretty good.
It wasn't pretty, but it was Purdy. Because once Purdy got hurt early in the game on a hit by Reddick, and they had no one who could actually throw the ball, Ray. The game was, in retrospect, the game was kind of over in that moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, I mean, I've seen Josh Johnson. So, I mean, it was, I think the 49ers are his 13th team.
Wow. 13th.
You know, he's an arena football guy. He's an XFL guy. I mean, he's played everywhere, and always kind of moves around. And not that Purdy was by any means Montana or Young, but at least he was a capable quarterback that had won some games for this team. Once he was gone and you knew they were going to have to go the rest of the way with Johnson, the game was over at 21-7. The game was really over at halftime.
It's all right. If you know that you really have one option here, Purdy, you're going to block Hassan Reddick with 18 sacks this year with tight ends? Wasn't that ridiculous?
It was. I thought that right from the beginning because that was coming into the game, you know, going into every game, you always view it through matchups. You know, how do you match up with the other team? How do your one-on-one individually, how do you match up? How do your wide receivers match up against their corners? How do your tight ends line match up against their safeties? And across the offensive line and defensive line, how do they match up man for man? And the one matchup I kept coming back to was Reddick on that one side against Mike McGlinchey. You know, if it had been on the other side, you know, where Trent Williams plays, it would have been a pretty even match, I think. But on the other side, I said, man, the Eagles have a big advantage here. And one of the things that I was kind of waiting to see was my thinking was, well, as destructive and disruptive as Reddick can be, I mean, certainly the 49ers aren't going to try and block him with one guy. I mean, they've seen how he's made plays that have changed games. So they're going to – I was really kind of curious to see what kind of scheme they would come up with to try and block him. And the scheme they came up with was worse than I imagined. I mean, they didn't even put a lineman on. They put a tight end on him in that situation. And that hit, you know, I think the Eagles probably would have won anyway.
Yeah.
I think Purdy's, you know, I don't know that Purdy could have won that game anyway. But once he went out, I mean, certainly there was no chance for the 49ers to come back and win.
Hey, right. All that having been said, it's second quarter, 7-7, and the Eagles have the ball on their own 34, 4th-and-1. They tried a quarterback sneak. It didn't work on 3rd. Was that a good risk to take with the other team no longer having a quarterback?
It didn't occur to me as a bad idea at the time.
Wow. Because it worked, but... I thought I was creating negative scenarios.
There's where
they're going to get points here and then shut the Eagles down because they got a great defense. And we're going to go, why the hell did you give them 3 points, if not 7, by handing the ball deep in your own territory? If honestly, I know they use analytics. I keep going back to that moment and going, Mike, that was the one time I was scared. Because, Ray, that did not seem to be a logical decision in the moment.
Yeah, I know, and you're at your own 32, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess I've seen that play be so successful so often this year that, I mean, while I recognize it's a risk, I think it's a risk probably worth taking, and it worked. I mean, the only time I really questioned the coaching in yesterday's game was in the second half. When they had that one series where they ran RPO with Hurts,
yeah,
two or three times,
that was
where
he just
took the snap, tucked the ball, and off he goes. And I'm thinking, look, you've got this game totally in hand. You know, why are you choosing to run him on designed runs when he's clearly playing with an injured shoulder? I mean, you can say what you want about it's getting better, but I mean, he's clearly playing with an injured shoulder. Why would you expose him to taking more hits in a situation where it's absolutely unnecessary? That was really the only time all day yesterday that I questioned the coach's judgment, because to me that didn't seem like it was the risk reward thing. Certainly didn't seem to be the right way to go.
Well, here's the I question a lot the other coach, the Niners, Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
First of all, the Eagles ended up getting the go ahead drive on 4. Really undisciplined penalties by the Niners. And then at the end of the game, Trent Williams decided to prove how undisciplined they were by attacking Kayvon Wallace. Is that team undisciplined normally, Ray, or did they lose it because they lost their quarterback? I'm trying to understand the way they performed after Purdy got hurt.
No, that's not generally the way they play.
Oh.
They're normally a very disciplined team, I think.
Oh.
For as physical as they are and as tough as they are, they generally don't do stupid things. But yesterday they did, and yesterday it really hurt them because of key situations. I mean, the Eagles struggled to move the ball on them. The Eagles struggled to sustain drives. And one of the ways they sustained the two long drives, the only two long drives they had, were penalties by the 49ers, kind of dumb penalties by the 49ers that gave the Eagles first downs and sustained those possessions. I mean, they played like a dumb team, but they're not. They're really not.
Hmm.
But, you know, it started early with a dumb non-decision by Kyle Shanahan not to challenge the Devontae Smith play.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a huge play in the game. It's the first possession. It's a fourth down. I mean, that's a change of possession play. You know, they've got the ball. They've got the ball 30. You're at the 35-yard line. You're 35 going in, and all of a sudden they throw this pass. And from the second that he hit the ground, even before the replay came up, I thought, man, that's a great catch. But I'm not so sure he caught it. And if you're Shanahan in that spot, I think you have to challenge. I know what they're waiting for. You know, they were waiting for the reverse angle that clearly shows the ball on the ground. But that didn't come up right away. But if you're Shanahan, you got to throw the flag and just stop the game and get that look, because it's too big a play. By not challenging it, letting them get the completion, you know, the Eagles go down, they score the touchdown, you're down 7-0. Whereas if you challenge it and you win it, then that, you know, you get possession of the ball. I mean, that was a huge play, and I thought that the one thing that convinced me that it was a trap was Devontae Smith's reaction to it, the way he jumped up and the way he was signaling to the team, come on, let's hurry, hurry, hurry.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I thought he's trying to rush everybody down here so they can snap the ball before this play gets reviewed or before they can challenge, because he knew that the ball was on the ground. And for Shanahan, I mean, that was certainly worth a challenge. I know that you don't like to use them early in the game, but that was such a critical situation. I thought it was a huge strategic mistake that he didn't do that.
Absolutely. Ray Dittinger, we're going to use you like a rented mule. You're rested. You've retired for a while. We'll hear from you again later in the week, Ray. Always an honor. Thank you, my friend.
All right, Ange. Take care. Bye-bye.
Right, now, here's Shanahan's actual explanation, Al, of what happened, because I also think the guys using the video in the link helped the Eagles here. Listen.
We didn't see it. So there's a play clock. You got 40 seconds. They're going to get it off, and they got it off. I was going to throw it anyway. I was just hoping. But it looked like he caught it, and then they show a replay up there. But it ended up looking like a catch on the replay, too.
Yeah, they didn't have it.
Show the second replay.
They didn't have it on TV
after the snap.
I'm so surprised they didn't have all the angles.
Somebody had to have the angle.
See, in baseball, you have the immediate angles. You have all types of angles immediately, and the video guy who ends up challenging, calling down to the club to the dugout, they have every angle immediately. I don't understand why they don't have it in the NFL.
I thought it was a catch till two plays later when they showed
it. That's when the TV didn't have them. They get them usually pretty quick.
They did, but apparently they have their own angle. They could have seen it ahead of time, and they didn't. And there was the banging of the fists by Devontae, which means get to the line.
Yeah, that's good coaching.
That was right, but that alone would get me to throw the challenge flag. That alone. Because he didn't catch it, and they would have had the ball, and the whole thing might have been different. Except even then, they could not throw a forward pass.
Well, no, then everything changes. You don't know what it's going to be. But I don't know, even if he didn't get hurt, the Eagles were just overwhelming.
Dominant. Yeah.
They were just dominant.
The Eagles would have won. John's up from Philly. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
If we were doing any better, we'd be drunk and pot-riddled.
What?
That is true.
But John, what do you feel right now? How great was it to have a game that was not that stressful?
Thank you, Howie. Thank you, Howie. Thank you, Howie.
There it is. Yep. That's your hero. That's your hero.
I mean,
you didn't get enough love.
This guy built a roster that was, above and beyond anybody's expectations coming into this year. And the one player who's come through in the playoffs at the beginning and has been ready to play as Hassan Reddick. And this guy has owned the backfield for the first two playoff games, and he really set the tone for this game. I mean, this guy is amazing. This is probably one of the best free agent pickups ever.
Yeah, I think it might be, for 1 year, John, the best free agent pickup. And on the other side of the ball, A.J. Brown. I mean, you got two guys who totally changed the unit by their presence there.
Long term.
And they were both acquired by Howie Roseman in the offseason. You can't do any more than that as a GM.
Phenomenal work.
You can't do it. Nope. He's the hero of this season. He really is.
No, absolutely. And besides everything Hassan has done, we know that he gave us a hometown discount.
Yep.
And for that, I thank him because, like I said, these first two playoff games, I mean, he has really set the tone. He's owned the backfield. I mean, he smacked the quarterback in the mouth. I mean, you can't ask for anything better as far as a guy coming in and setting the tone for a game.
John, thank you as always. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Rhea's alma mater, Temple University. T for Temple U, University.
Walk-on.
What's that?
He was a walk-on.
He was a walk-on. No one even knew he could play. He was just a kid out of Camden.
And made and became a single-digit player, which is a huge deal at Temple.
When he was at Temple, was he this good?
He was very good, especially junior, senior. When you become a single-digit player at Temple, it means great player, leader, all kinds of stuff goes into it.
Tremendous performance by Hassan Reddick. Yep. Tremendous. 215. Of everything you saw yesterday, that was the most decisive individual player,
awesome.
Reddick, and what he did to them in the first half. 215-592-9494. When we return, Al, I do want to talk about a couple of things that the Niners did. Because they not only lost decisively, but they acted like losers, too.
Yep.
And I don't appreciate them coming into our city and acting the fool. Go back to Frisco where you blend better. 215-592-9494. Welcome back. It's 7:23. If we were any happier, we'd have a close off. That's how wonderful this is today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just woke up after partying last night, understand that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to the Super Bowl in Arizona. And they will face a member of their past who failed us for 14 years. A man, Al, who's championed the cause of every low-life criminal he could find to put on his roster.
This didn't take long.
No.
And now, Al, mano a mano, the beloved Philadelphia Eagles and the evil Andy Reid. Ah, what a moment. How beautiful. Anyway, Al, I would be remiss if I not say that I developed over the course of 3 days a true dislike for the fans of the San Francisco 49ers, and in fact for the entire city of San Francisco, which I visited last summer. And it seemed like a nice place.
Not anymore.
Except, what's going on over there,
it's
Rube?
It's awful.
What happened to it?
That city was great. It's no longer great.
It's not great.
It's turning
so
a hole.
I went on San Francisco radio, and I'm not going to lie to you, the people that were interviewing me seemed a bit slow. You know
Did you
saying?
Bring up the tiny hands?
I brought up the hands. They didn't react well to that.
I didn't think they would.
But overall, they seemed like boobs. And they kept telling me, you don't understand, sir. We're taking over your city.
No.
And then I said to them, no, you don't understand. I've been doing this job before you guys were born, and you ain't taking over no frickin' city.
No.
Then they had the audacity, Al, to go to the art museum. The last time a team did this was the Vikings.
Yeah, yeah.
And they put stuff, they put the Viking stuff on the statue.
What was the score of that
stuff.
Game?
Yeah.
And then we crushed them.
Yeah.
And these geniuses said, oh, let's do that. That works great here. And then they ran into a friggin' buzzsaw. And I got to tell you, of all the things that happened, how bad is a team? It's 7-7. Second quarter of the game, and they gave you realize most of the yards gained in that quarter
penalty
were all as a result of undisciplined plays. They in sequence in that drive, defensive pass interference, true call, right call, got mugged. Second one, hands to the face. It's so obvious. It was totally out. You couldn't miss it.
Nope.
You were at the game. You saw it, right?
Yep.
Illegal use of hands. Again, hitting the guy before outside of the 5-yard thing, and then a blatant face mask.
Blatant.
And that's like 50 or 60 yards right there that you handed to the Eagles. Al, twice they prolonged the drives on third down flat.
Yeah, the Niners were terrible.
Dopes.
And again, I'm not trying to take any credit here, but I did mention to you that we were in good hands with head official John Hussey.
You're not kidding. My God. Needs a game check is what he needs.
He called 11 penalties against them for 80-some yards.
Well, they were terrible.
They were terrible. They deserved them.
They were legit.
They were legitimate penalties.
Legit. That team got bullied all afternoon. They just got bullied.
Yeah. I mean, how do you do that?
They're better.
But
you're just better.
The Eagles were a better team.
And I've seen this in sports every once in a while. When a team is highly disappointed, they decide they need to fight you, right?
Why not?
And when Trent Williams did that, Trent Williams should be suspended a game for that.
Yes.
That's awful.
What he did was, on the streets of Philly, assault and battery. I believe, Al, there's a prison sentence attached to that attack on Kayvon Wallace. Right?
Yeah, not cool.
Totally lack of discipline, all attributable to Kyle Shanahan, the coach of that team.
Coach of the year finalist.
And that is why I would like to decree. Yeah, he's a finalist. Sirianni's not.
Sirianni, by the way, is 5-0 against coach of the year finalists. Beat Dable 3 times, Peterson, and Kyle Shanahan.
Nick Sirianni beat the hell out of Kyle Shanahan yesterday in the matchup. Beat the hell out of him.
Agreed.
Good job, Nick.
Great job.
Good job, Nick. Ava Graham.
Yes.
What is our current read on our question of the day?
Brought to you by Armin Chevrolet of Ardmore. Minor fender bender or major accident, Armin Chevrolet's Collision Center will make it right. Certified service, ArminChevy.com. Who was the best offseason pickup by the Eagles GM, Howie Roseman? Hassan Reddick, 84%
Wow, AJ Brown,
14%
And the other guys irrelevant.
1-1
Irrelevant. All right. Anyway, wow. Hassan Reddick is the toast of this town.
Yes, he is.
What a man. On the line is Truck Horn Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
I can't hear that enough, Jerry. Jerry, how do you feel right now? What are you feeling?
Dude, I am so ecstatic, especially since we're going to be playing Andy Reid, and I hope we just shove it so far up his ass he can't see straight. Mm-hmm. So, by 2 weeks from now, I'm just going to be so excited. I'll be on the road again. I thought our Super Bowl was this weekend, but it's next weekend, so that's fine. But I'll be on the road supporting my birds. Everybody I see right now is like, you an Eagles fan? I'm like, what do you think, dude? I got all my Eagles gear on.
Well, Jerry, I'll say this. I'm probably going to use a different term to describe what happened.
So
there.
Eloquent.
But I will say this, Jerry. There is nothing that would ever make me happier than to win a Super Bowl at the expense of Andy frickin' Reid. Jerry?
Oh, God,
yeah. Yeah, a couple of years ago, when a different guy was running this station, we had an Andy Reid Appreciation Day.
Yes.
Yep,
remember
Spike.
That? Yeah.
Need him on again, Spike.
We need to talk to Spike about that.
13 days, we're going to have an Andy Reid Appreciation Day, all right? We're going to kick his ass. And, Jerry, I want to run by you my slogan for the Super Bowl. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead. I heard it earlier. It's pretty good.
No, I want to say it with a little drama. I guess the time is ours.
Time's yours.
The time is ours. I love it. Jerry, give me one more. Give it to me.
I want to shout at Rube real quick. I got something to ask him. Hey, Rube.
Yeah, Jerry.
You talked to a buddy of mine yesterday at a game for about 15 minutes. A short kind of guy, real nice dude. He said he'd talk to you. You're at a tailgate. But did he tell you he was a Yankees fan? Because he probably didn't.
I don't remember the conversation. I might have been a little intoxicated.
Yeah. Jerry, I need the horn. I got to keep moving here. Thank you, my friend. Jerry, the horn guy. Anne Marie's up from Downeytown. Hi, Anne Marie.
Hi, Angelo. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? All I could think of last night was Angelo's going to get his due because we're playing Reid in the Super Bowl.
Well, Anne Marie, let me make this clear, and I think both of my co-hosts, Al and Rio, will agree. Mm-hmm. It's never about me.
We know that's not right. We know it's always about you.
But needless to say, I am quite thrilled by this turn of events. I really didn't expect this. But once the Eagles had won, in my own odd way, I was rooting for Reid so that we could have this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bengals are
so
good, too.
I.
The fact is, Avery, in that game, Reid got so lucky with that shove out of bounds.
I can't believe
I know.
That guy ruined the season for the Bengals.
Never get over that. Ever.
What a dumb decision that was.
Dope.
That was really bad. And just the fact that we got the ball first.
Yep.
I was thinking about you then.
Yep.
We're like, oh, thank you, God, we got the ball first. Because I think that started the tone of the game. And I Reddick was unbelievable. Sanders was unbelievable. And Gainwell. I was like, when the first couple touchdowns, when they waltzed in, and it was like we just walked into the end zone, I go, they look like they're expecting Jalen Hurts to run.
Yep.
And Sirianni did the right.
Yeah, Gainwell was an unsung hero for me.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a phenomenal game.
Three straight
game.
Plays just on a drive.
He
on
really
one of
did
them.
A great yep. job, man. Unsung hero.
Gainwell's a fifth-round pick, and he is running really well right now.
Yeah.
Anne-Marie, here's the thing. That whole scenario with the opening play, I was not thinking of me there. I was thinking of Mike Lombardi. He was at our show Friday, and he went, listen to me. The team that scores first has a massive advantage. Because need the team is great coming from behind, especially the Niners. He said the Niners need a lead early. And they did not get that because the first drive, get the Eagles off on the right foot. But that's how it was. Forget the analytics, Emery. Get that ball and shove it down their throat.
And I was so glad. I kept looking at the screen and they kept saying how the Niners are first in defense and the Niners are first in this and the Niners are first in that. I'm like, where are the Niners? They're so great in defense. We're good too.
Yeah.
And we showed them we're good.
Absolutely.
And this is the other thing I want to tell you. This is a quick little story. Howie Roseman, hey, what can we say about Howie Roseman? Awesome, awesome, awesome. I was eating lunch with a friend the other day whose nine-year-old goes to his school, and at lunchtime, they play, so they're in third grade, they play up pickup football. Who is out there? Howie Roseman's youngest son is playing with my friend's son, Nico. And she goes, and guess what, Amory? When they get out and they play pickup with the other nine-year-old classes, his son, Howie Roseman's son, he's always the quarterback.
Ah.
He's always the quarterback.
The quarterback factory.
It's a I guess his own kid's in the factory now.
Yes.
Emery, that's beautiful. Thank you for the call. 215-592-9494. Lots more. One of the biggest Jalen Hurts fans is Tracy from Atlanta. Al, I'm going to have her evaluate his singing skills. Because what we learned yesterday is there's a damn good reason why Hurts wasn't on that Christmas album. But he can play, and that's all we care about. 215-592-9494. We come back. Al, can I work in a couple of bitches? Couple of complaints.
That's not a good day.
I got to stick a couple of them in to balance the story.
You did the singing.
Why?
That's about
it. When we come back, there will be a tiny... All right, welcome back, everybody. No show would be complete here, even a game in which the Eagles go to the Super Bowl, without some obvious but important complaints.
All right.
And Al, you do understand. I got a couple of hundred emails, and there was still tons of complaints.
Well,
so
I'd
like to at least highlight a couple of the moments in this game that were not great.
Yeah.
All right, the first one. Was after Purdy went out on that great hit by Hassan Reddick.
Yep.
The Niners had one offensive threat remaining.
Correct.
McCaffrey.
Yes.
Yeah.
And McCaffrey out. McCaffrey was not stopped, even though there was no one else to worry about.
Yeah. Well.
This is when Al I got upset. All right. It was 7-0. I believe they were 23 yards from the end zone, and I'm going, well, the most they'll get is a field goal. They can't throw the football.
Right.
And I handed it to McCaffrey. Listen.
8.5 to go here in the first half. 7-0 Eagles. Under the center is Johnson. Johnson gives off to McCaffrey. Breaks a tackle. Still on his feet at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Christian McCaffrey. Broken field. Breaking tackles.
I want you to know that in that moment, I got 50 emails of people attacking Jonathan Gannon.
And a text from me.
And a text from her. Now, understand, Al, that's all they gave up the whole day.
Yeah,
I mean, it is.
But it was a point of annoyance.
Yes.
Well, he's, I mean.
He's good.
Yeah, really.
Boy, is he hard to bring down.
He's one of the best players in all of football.
Oh, my God. He breaks more tackles. It's amazing.
He's a beast. He was the one that was scaring me the most.
Who's trading that guy? What the hell's wrong with you? Right, anyway, then the next thing that upset me.
What?
It was wide open A.J. Brown.
Oh,
actually, I think this was before that. No, he just got overthrown by 10 yards.
Oh, the overthrow. Yeah. Okay.
A.J. Brown beat his guy for a touchdown. But Hurts, it wasn't even close.
No, he did not look
way
good yesterday.
Way overthrew it. What was that?
Hurts did not have a great game.
No, he did not have a great game. In that moment, that was an early knockout punch that they did not land. And it was right there. It was ready to happen. Then late in the game, Al, with a significant lead, couple touchdowns, I got Hurts running the ball three straight times. And he got the hell beat out of him on the second one.
That didn't bother me. It seemed to bother a lot of
people.
It kind of ended the game.
Yes.
But the one he got hit on, Al, he came up very slowly.
It could have ended the season.
Yeah, he came up real slow. I was worried.
He wasn't playing great to begin with, so I'm saying, well, he's still injured. And now I'm submitting him to severe punishment by a very strong team.
Got
to
win the game.
Not
and
good.
Gainwell was playing well. I mean, he could have handed it off to him.
Gainwell was virtually unstoppable.
Gainwell was terrific.
Looked like that other guy that used to be a Clement.
I just don't know. Yeah, I don't know why I'm putting, you know, this guy under duress. And finally, and this is more, I guess, fate. My God, I am not a fan of the punter, Brett Kern.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
Well, why would you be?
But this guy, what are the odds? He punts the ball, and it hits a wire, and then Fox has no video. Now, he's going nuts that it—
Please, they had no video.
Rhea,
they're the ones who are responsible.
It's their wire.
It's their wire.
Oh, yeah, they don't have video.
They should stop, say it hit the wire. They would know if it hit their own wire.
It hit the wire.
You were there, right, Rube?
The ball hit the wire.
Ow. The ball at the wire. But that was a sign to me because Aaron Sippis is healthy now.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Aaron Sippis needs to come back for the Super Bowl.
Yes.
This Kern guy, he almost got three blocked. The Kern stinks.
Can't lose a Super Bowl with a punter.
No, they were starting every driver on the 40.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I had. I wanted to get those off my chest.
I feel normal now. We bitched a little bit.
That was all of it was extremely valid. Tom's on the line. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, how you guys doing? What a day.
Tom, are you excited to go to the Super Bowl?
It's outstanding. And playing Andy Reid, we can excise the one thing I can't forget about that era, and that's our quarterback thrown up in the end zone in the Super Bowl in 2004.
All right, hold on, Tom. This could be a big thing for me. Are you saying you've never loved Reid?
I loved him a little in the beginning, but you know everybody.
But you don't enjoy him now. You don't. You don't. This is my one chance now to get people telling me they hate Reid the way I do.
Hmm. Oh, well, I hate him now. Sure.
All right.
I have to admit, I like him, but you know.
Hold on a minute, Al. Yeah. Do you hate Reid?
No.
Rhea, do you hate Reid? You do hate Reid?
Yes.
God bless you. Ruben Amaro Jr.
I really like Reid.
Time's yours.
Yeah, time's mine.
I don't find this. This is the quarterback matchup to
no,
me, man.
No, it's Reid. Reid was here for. He wasted 14 years of our life.
No, did not waste 14 years. He's one of the best coaches ever.
How old are you, Tom?
I am 64.
64. Do you realize you're actually 50 in Andy Reid years?
Oh, Jesus.
He took 14 of them out.
He had a tough time with 2 minutes. That's all.
Other than that,
he was great.
How was the play?
Tom, what do you think? We're going to have a parade in this town?
Oh, definitely. And I want to see Mahomes thrown up in the end zone to get rid of that memory of that era.
That will not happen with
Mahomes. Tom, Tom's got a vomit thing going, and he's not giving it up. All right, let me bring up here my friend Tracy from Atlanta. Hi, Trace.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Tracy, Jalen Hurts smiled after the game. Did you see that?
I saw it.
All right, what did you think? Did it make you excited for him? What an accomplishment in his third year here.
I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for the whole team. And let me just start real quick. I had a really rough last month. You already know I lost two family members within a month and close family members. And I'm just so thankful for sports in general and for you and the morning team because that's what really got me through. Because it gave me something to, you know, bring some joy, you know. And just don't forget the Sixers. They've been doing it too. So when the Eagles weren't playing, I had my Sixers to look to.
I'm sad about your adversity, but that's why I love sports because it takes our mind off the real world, and it did for you. But Trace, are you a musical person? Do you sing? Do you hum? Are you into music?
I sing about as bad as Hurts. So.
All right, I want you to assess this for me. Tracy, I'm going to give you the power of calling a TKO at any point because at the end, I was so happy he was happy.
Yeah.
Because Al, he has shown no emotion this whole season. But now he's going to the Super Bowl, and he's out there, and he does a testimonial to the fans, and then he launches into the Eagles fight song. Tracy, if you want to hear it all, here it is.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Fly, Eagles, fly. Go and touch that one. hit them low, hit them high, and watch those eagles fly, fly, eagles fly, on the road to victory.
That was a little rough.
Tracy, there was a couple of notes he might have missed by a little bit. He missed those notes more than he missed Brown on that throw.
I can relate. I'm just as bad. And before I forget, don't forget, before Williams did that nonsense, there was another player. It might have been Warner. I don't remember who was throwing haymakers.
Yeah.
Greenlaw, I thought
what
it was.
What was that?
Trying to knock the football out.
He kept trying to punch, but it
after
was
the whistle. It was after the whistle, though.
It was way after the whistle.
But still, you can't punch at
the ball
like that.
Tracy, those Niners, did they look like a bunch of sore losers or what?
Yes.
Sore losers. They showed no class. And they didn't learn from the Vikings about putting jerseys on a Rocky statue. Y'all better learn. Yep. Disrespecting our city like that.
Yeah. Well, if I were there at the time, their physical being would have been in danger.
That's true, yeah.
Of course.
Can
uh-huh.
Okay, me and my son give an Eagles cheer real quick?
Yes, please do.
All right, let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Wow. Sounds Tandem. Like your son is pretty happy too, Trace. It's beautiful. Thank
and
you,
that
Tracy.
Game was a – if the NFL actually is serious about moving championship games to neutral sites, all they had to do was look at this city. What the hell are you thinking?
Do it.
Great point.
I mean, come on. The whole show was the crowd, all the shots the day before. It adds to it. Would imagine that game was in Atlanta.
100%
What would be the point of winning during the course of the regular season?
You got to have these games.
Oh, my God.
You got to do it. Ray's up from Illinois. Ray, I haven't heard from you in a while. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very good today, that's for sure.
Ray, what was that like? You're in the middle of the country watching that. Were you still rooting hard for the birds?
Oh, man, it was so awesome. I knew the Eagles were going to win. I knew they were going to win. You know what I mean? There was no doubt in my mind. But then when Cafferty got that touchdown, it was kind of,
It was very nerve-wracking, Ray. I was watching it, and I was not in a good mood. And my wife said to me, looks like you really want to keep working. To see if they won, I would keep working. And if not, this would be my last week. And I said to her, no, honey, I am just a football purist. And at that point, she started to ignore me.
This is the thing, Angelo.
Yeah.
When I called a couple of years ago and I was in that bad place and you helped me out and you got me a bunch of Eagles fans to help me and stuff, this has been my best playoff game season I've ever had in my life, because I've been talking to Rocco, I've been talking to Eagles Shirley, and they've stuck with me and it makes me closer and closer to Philadelphia than I've ever been before in my life. And I want to thank you so very, very much. And there's a special place in heaven for you. I know there is.
Well, Ray, I got to tell you something. You taught me something after all these years. You taught me the power of sports. And when you're in a down period, how they can lift you up. And that's, I learned from you with that, because I saw the difference it made. And so many people in this city right now, we're coming off a horrible pandemic. I haven't talked to you during that period, Ray. And this team lifted this whole city. It was beautiful what the Phillies did, and now it's beautiful what the Eagles did. They both came up big. And, Ray, all I want for you is continued happiness. You're a good man. And thank
you.
And
you know what? Yep. I'm going to call you back next couple of weeks here. And if for some reason I can't, I wish you the best, and I will see you with Reggie White and Nick Foles and Doug Peterson, and we'll be all sitting up there in heaven and playing a football game.
Ray, I love that you said that. Thank you, my friend. Be well. Al, I'm going to heaven.
Special place in heaven. I guess there's a sub-basement?
No, there's no sub-basement. Al. There's actual in heaven. Last I heard, there's like a VIP section.
Really?
The people that was really helpful to a lot of people.
They gave a lot of money at church.
Me and, it's money? I'm screwed then. I didn't get nothing. I gave a few bucks when I went to Shirley's. That was it. 215-592-9494. You know who we need to hear from?
Who?
A guy who is not easily pleased, Al. Our own Marcus Hayes of TheAcquirer.com. Is